Welcome everyone to this week's Really Big Fan Podcast. I am your host, Jizuk. I'm joined by my wife and co-host, as always, Acronym.
Did you have a glitch?
No. That's how you say it.
Okay.
That's officially how it's done.
Oh, that is how you do the business.
That's how you...
In podcasting?
Give them the business.
Okay.
You pick a vowel and you hammer it home.
There was a part on Stranger Things where Max is trying to tell him, like, give him a taste of his own medicine. And because Elle is how she is, she's like, give him the medicine.
Give him the medicine. Yeah. This week we're going to be talking to Jacob Giampa,
yes.
Right? Between Two Bolts, about his photography when it comes to nature, specifically the eclipse.
Yeah.
And his love of burbs.
Burbs.
Before we get to that, though, and our serotonin boost, as always, headlines start the show. All right. Well, so Nintendo did one of their Indie World showcases where they show off some of the indie games that are making their way from, like, the PC over to the Nintendo. They showed a little bit of that game called Big City Little Kitty, where you play the little cartoon cat that's roaming around in the big city. That is coming on May 9th.
Sweet.
So that'll be fun. They also showed a game called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate, which was originally put on the iTunes store for the Apple products, and now will be coming to the Nintendo Switch. It's kind of like the game Hades. It's like a three-quarter view, and you can play with up to four players, which means we'll try it together. And it'll be fun. That is coming out in July. So I get two new Turtles games this year.
You're spoiled.
Whew. Good times, man. Good times. No, wait, there's three, because there's one coming out in the fall based on the cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's amazing. What a great year. And while we're talking about video games, there was, hold on, I had it. It was right here. Ah, never mind. While we're talking about video games, let's talk about the big news about the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Keanu Reeves is going to be Shadow.
Keanu Reeves is going to be Shadow the Hedgehog. Idris Elba will be returning as Knuckles, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think he has to at this point. There's no way they could recreate that with anybody else.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
I had forgotten, too, there's a scene in the first Sonic the Hedgehog where he's watching Speed. And he says something about Keanu being a national treasure.
That's probably why it happened.
So
and they've said that, like, Keanu won't sign on to, like, Marvel movies and stuff. They've tried. But I'm like, Sonic, though.
Sonic?
Yeah, totally.
He's down for some Sonic.
I mean, honestly, these movies are way better than they're supposed to be.
We need to go back and watch that Super Pets movie. Keanu is Batman, if I remember correctly.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Either Batman or Superman. I can't remember which, but I think it was Batman.
Yeah, but the Sonic movies are amazing. The
Sonic movies are great.
They're stupid how amazing they are.
I bought Paddington 2 months ago and still haven't watched it. But that's how I feel about the Sonic movies.
Yeah.
Like, anybody who hasn't seen one, I was like, oh, you gotta see it.
They're so awesome.
Speaking of adaptations, they're making a live action movie based on the anime One Punch Man.
Yeah.
And it's going to, the script was originally going to be written by the guys who did the Venom movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is, now going to be rewritten by Dan Harmon and Heather Ann Campbell, who both work on Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan, of course, did Community.
Yeah.
And I know that Heather is a huge fan. I listen to the podcast she's on all the time. Giant One Punch Man fan.
That guy, Boss Logic, did a illustration and it looked like the guy that played the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
I said, don't you know who I am? I am One Punch Man. And he, like, photoshopped his head onto, like, a live action One Punch Man body.
That's kind of fun.
So.
This was the other video game story I had because it made me angry. Blizzard, or a guy who used to work for Blizzard, said that gamers should start tipping if they really like the game. Like, after you spend the $70 on Elden Ring, if you really liked it, then you should tip them $10 or $20.
That's so weird.
Maybe pay the people who make the games instead of the people who are deciding what games get made. Instead of trying to force us into a society where we have to tip the developer.
That is so weird to me, too, because they're already making a contract of how much they're getting paid to produce a game at that point. Like, it, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Just a really, really silly idea. We talked extensively last week about WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. We recorded on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, the Young Bucks and Tony Khan decided to drop that CM Punk footage, so we didn't get to actually mention it.
Yes.
But I know the both of us have seen it.
Yeah.
And I think we're definitely on the side of, why would you bother?
Yeah.
It seems extremely petty. Tony Khan said in a recent interview that his reasoning for doing so was very good, in that Jack Perry is currently fighting in New Japan, mm-hmm. and he's calling himself the scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
And New Japan had an event last week in Chicago. And
I'm just like, dude, like, why are you guys bringing up the other company? And like, why do you have to do that?
Yeah.
Like it when, you know, there were references the opposite way.
Right.
I'm just like, why are you guys putting more stock on the other company by bringing it up? And that's just kind of how I felt with this too.
Right. So.
But I will say that in the wrestling news that's happened this week, the sad part is Rhea Ripley had to relinquish her title.
That is sad.
That is a bummer. That was like the only spit of news I really had today, was just like, that sucks that she had to do it. But do we actually believe that Liv is this like evil person? Because she's a tiny blonde.
I know.
I can't take it seriously.
The idea that Liv chucked a chair at her last week, and that was just enough to break her arm.
Exactly.
Like, when all the press she was doing the week before WrestleMania, she was wearing one of those like soft casts.
Yeah.
Like, no, something's been wrong for a while.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more impressive that her and Becky worked a match around, you know, Rhea's arm not being in the best shape.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And she's just going to come back strong, bigger and stronger than ever.
Oh, totally. So, yeah. It's a bummer that she's off for now, because now you've got Roman Reigns won't be here.
Yeah.
All that much.
Seth and Becky out.
Now you've got Rhea out, who they've been building the entire division for.
Yeah.
So, like, you've got to raise up a new set of people. And that'll be interesting.
Well, it's opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's where some of our favorites have come in.
Yeah.
When it comes to that kind of thing.
I'm just glad that, you know, one of those people will be R-Truth.
Yeah, sure. I think I'm super cool with Damian Priest being champ.
Yeah. Undertaker, yay.
I don't know exactly where the story is going. Like, it seems like he's, now that he's champ, He's turning more face. Like the rest of Judgment Day were beating down, I think, whoever he's supposed to face at the pay-per-view. And he was just kind of standing back and kind of looking confused.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you beating him up? So
that'll be weird.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to bring up, because I think it's important to give, a disclaimer. Public service announcement.
Yeah.
And that is that in the news a couple of weeks ago, a woman in it happened on Twitter. But a woman in Japan had went to a Yu-Gi-Oh card tournament at a hobby shop, and then left the tournament halfway through because it was so stinky.
Yeah.
She said there were other her original tweet was, she left halfway through the tourney because she couldn't stand the smell. It's not like I lost or was sad.
So the PSA here is wear deodorant?
The PSA here is, if you're going out in public and it doesn't occur to you that you should probably clean yourself before you go out in public, maybe do that.
Mm-hmm. All I can think of is all of the Yomikons that have been smelly.
If you're going out in public, Yomikon, a card tournament, a movie, if you're going out someplace where other people are, maybe clean yourself up a little bit before you go. If you take anything away from this episode. And the last thing I wanted to bring up is in a issue that came out last week of What If, featuring Venom.
Mm-hmm.
We got an off-camera first appearance of Madison. She-Hulk.
That's
you can see the panel on my screen here.
Mm-hmm.
She says, Wongers, the bottomless G&Ts are ready. Three Y's.
Oh, my God.
Wong says they're watching the season finale of The Bachelor.
Yes.
So
I love that he just like sits around and watches movies with her.
Yeah.
Just implied that they're just buddies now.
Right.
Like, it's not like they're dating. They're literally just friends. And yeah. It's so silly.
Yeah, it is absolutely. Like, even when it happened in the She-Hulk series, how did she, like, she ends up there and spoils a TV show for him.
Yeah.
How does she come back? Like, wouldn't Wong put her back where she's supposed to be and then never contact her ever again?
I mean, in theory, but it's like Wong's kind of bored all the time, too, if you think about it. So there was something where, like, they got transported to, like, his apartment or something, and they started, like, watching.
They're just hanging out.
Yeah. I have no idea, but I'm here for it. Wong needs somebody to hang out with other than Stephen Strange.
That's fair.
Because if they do too much together, they'll end up causing chaos.
That's totally true.
So if you put Wong and just go, okay, you guys are going to watch The Godfather. Like, because I think it was, it was The Sopranos. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Watching. She spoiled the end.
She spoiled the end of The Sopranos for him.
And like, he's like, I mean, I know it was on for like, 20 years ago or something, but like, so it was kind of hilarious.
It was really wild to watch the movie I was watching last night and see the guy from Breaking Bad that plays the DEA agent that's like his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He was in that movie as like a general.
Of course he was.
Of course he was. But it was really strange.
Like the other guy that was from The Punisher and also as Mr. Krabs.
Oh, Tom Clancy?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's also in there and that is hilarious in itself.
Absolutely funny.
Every time I see him, he's like a service member.
Yep.
Unless he is freaking Krabs.
He's been typecast.
Very.
Well, that's all the news I've got as far as headlines are concerned. Do you have anything else you wanted to cover?
Nope. I got nothing. I guess I could just say, like, I watched the Coachella live streams this weekend and a lot of them were really good.
Yeah.
So if you, even though some people have the Coachella thought process, like, if you're into music and you like seeing live performances, it's almost better to watch them on the live stream than to actually be at Coachella because of all the camera work and stuff.
Right.
So, and you're not having to pay for it. It's literally on YouTube going live.
You can
catch replays of it and you can see everything.
You can sit or lay on your couch. You can lay in your bed. I was laying in my bed watching No Doubt.
Yep.
Before I went to sleep on Saturday.
Yeah. I was in here until like 4 a.m. when Doja Cat was on. And I, like, watched that entire performance, even though I'm not really into her. And by the end, I was like, okay, well, she's a hell of a performer. So it'd be cool if she had, like, a live band all the time. But
yeah,
there were also acts that played over the weekend that will be at Movement, too. So I was kind of, like, checking out to see, like, okay, what's Dom Dallas' set sound like right now? And he better not do the same set.
What was the thing that they're not doing this year? Because I thought it was Movement that, like,
Mopop.
Oh, Mopop. That's,
yeah, they stopped doing Mopop as of like last year or something.
Yeah.
So there's no more. It was a bummer. The last one was in 2022. We got a lot of like that indie like rock stuff that you would see at Coachella.
Right.
You know, some of the bands. But yeah, it was kind of a bummer. So, but Movement will never die.
All right. Well, we're going to come right back with our guest Between Two Bolts. And we're going to talk about a cool picture that he took of the eclipse. Next.
Welcome back to the Really Big Fan Podcast. And today we have Bestie Jacob back, Jacob Gyampa, aka Between Two Bolts, here to talk about kind of nature photography, but also like the eclipse, his birding. And he said that we could ask him anything we wanted to ask him. And
okay.
Chuck already asked him where babies came from. So we're going to skip that. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing good. Do you want me to move this closer so you can actually ask questions?
Whatever. It's good. If I had a question, I was going to lean forward.
So I my first question is, where did you end up going for the eclipse? Because I know you were in Ohio, or were you?
Yeah, I went to Cleveland, Ohio. I was right in downtown Cleveland.
Nice.
And we picked there because we woke up at like 5 a.m, looked at the weather, and that had the best odds of no clouds. So me and a couple of my buddies just drove down there.
That's awesome. Did you happen to go to MGK's coffee shop while you were there?
We did. We made a point to go to King and Kelly's coffee shop. I dragged my friends there, and yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Erica and I are going down there in July, and I definitely want to try that place out.
It's in a cool little area. It's under a bridge. Very, very fun.
Hell yeah.
I think you would like it. It kind of fits your vibes.
Yes, I'm excited. I did look at the menu already. So it's like, I am that much of a nerd.
It's planned.
Literally going in July and already trying to figure out what I'm ordering when I get there.
Does he have shit?
Flatbread pizza?
Oh, awesome.
That's where it's at.
No, he's got, because it's called the 27 Coffee Club, right?
Yeah, it's about, you know, the theme throughout it is all the people, the musicians that have passed away.
Yeah, oh, okay. So like...
From like, there's like Kurt Cobain, Mac Miller, Amy Winehouse, Juice WRLD, X.
Does Jimi Hendrix Coffee have LSD in it?
I don't know.
Maybe
I didn't get
you do that nicely. Maybe it's one of those like secret menu Starbucks things where you like...
Right.
So you were downtown Cleveland, and so as we were talking, you've been kind of blowing up for this one particular photo, and people don't seem to think it's real.
Yeah, so I took a photo of the eclipse. Everyone has the same photo of the eclipse, and you can't tell apart, really. And I have one with the American flag right in front of it, and they think it's a composite photo of like multiple photos added on top of each other.
Sure.
But it's just one photo. They just can't wrap their head around that I got something in front of the eclipse.
Yeah, I was like, what do you need to do? Record the RAW? Like, are you opening the RAW on your computer to go like, look, here is the RAW? Like,
what made you think of like getting the eclipse through the flag?
I don't know. I just tried to get something different, you know, something that I haven't seen before. And I've seen the same eclipse photo. Every eclipse, you know, you see 100 of the same photo.
Right.
I just wanted to make it a little more memorable.
There's even like the super moons and stuff like that. When people shoot those, it's almost like everybody gets the same shot of the moon because right. They're trying to zoom in on it as close as possible. And like, I know there was another photographer that like when he did the super moon, like there was some woman that was like, you stole my photo. And he's like, no, I didn't. Like,
it's the moon. It looks the same for everybody.
Oh, right.
Like, what the hell? So it's a sweet shot. And it's like, so what is the process of having to go through something like that? Did you have to have like different, like a filter or anything on your camera?
So during the totality of the eclipse, you don't have to have any filter. You can look at it with just your eyes. Mm-hmm. So up until the eclipse, I had my eclipse glasses. I was looking to where the sun was, trying to line it up with the flagpole. And as the sun's moving, I have to move along with it. So I was just kind of running all over the place like a crazy person. And all these other photographers had like their tripods out and like they're locked into one spot. And I was shooting it all handheld and just running everywhere.
I'm imagining that.
Shoot it right in the middle of the street.
I hope your friends were making sure you weren't going to get run over by a car.
Right.
They helped a little bit.
They helped a little bit.
Yeah.
So, like, because I saw some people were talking about, like when it's not in full totality, like, you have to add, like, something over your camera.
Yeah, because can't you blow out the lens?
You can mess up.
Your sensor would just pretty much melt because it's like a giant magnifying glass pointed at the sun.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially does that happen with the non-mirrorless, too?
I think it would, because it just goes straight to the sensor at that point. So I think it would just melt your sensor.
Yeah. I saw that people were like warning, like, hey, do this. And some people were even like putting one in front of their phone, like to try to take a picture because they were.
Oh, like the sunglasses?
Yeah. Like people were taking their phone and covering these because they were worried that it was going to burn the sensor out on the phone, too.
That seems so, you know, just like taking the glasses and like taping them. So you take up the same picture of the eclipse everyone else is taking, but it's your picture.
And it's just super like, tiny and blurry.
My phone.
See, like, I honestly didn't know, like, anything about how to do it, whether, like, what filter you needed and all that other stuff. And, like, when everybody started talking about it, I was literally like, I don't even have the mental energy to think about how to do this. I'm going to close the blinds and all of like the curtains and I'm just going to like stay inside. And I ended up sleeping through the entire thing instead of actually.
Time well spent.
You really enjoyed it that day.
Yeah, yeah. I literally just slept instead, and then I woke up and got to see everybody's really cool pictures. And you said something to the point that I think is really important, is like when you're out looking for photos, you're looking for something that's different versus like everybody's taking the same picture. And it's like we get that sometimes with like the one that comes to mind is Campus Martius every year. Everybody's trying to find like a high point to get up on so they can shoot the tree down, because the one year Felicia did that, it was a Felicia Fullwood took this one shot and it ended up going viral in Detroit of what the tree looked like. And then it was like every year after that, everybody was trying to shoot the same exact thing in the same exact angle.
Yeah.
And there was one year where I had the drone and I shot it from a completely different angle because I was just like, I'm not shooting the same photo again. And when back in like the urban exploring days, I'm sure that you remember you were going, you went to that building. I just went to that building. Like you went and took that photo and like, I was just there. And it's like, I'm trying to shoot differently than what you're shooting, dude. Like calm down.
You took a photo of that doorway, the same that I did.
Exactly. Oh, I can't
believe my burned down building. You can't go in there.
I like that we blew over the fact that Jacob was like, yeah, you can look directly at it while the eclipse is like at its zenith.
Yeah. I mean, you can't.
Any other time you can't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the whole time they're like, don't look at the eclipse. Put these glasses on. You're like, no, it's fine. There is a small window where you won't burn out your eye sockets. Just take your glasses.
A good 4 minutes where you could just look right at it.
Yep. So, like, what you ended up using the telephoto, right? With that,
yeah, I have it was a 200 to 500 millimeter lens, and I had it on a crop sensor, so it probably made it like a 600 millimeter lens or so.
Nice, okay,
amazing. Yeah, just to give me that little extra zoom.
Yeah, that's definitely a plus. That's the one thing that people don't ever think about the crop sensors. Like, you can get a little bit closer because people were saying to do that at when we would have front of house shows. If you switch it in it, because I can switch it in my camera to go to crop, then it would zoom in.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like at those shows, I do it. And then whenever I would shoot like sporting events or nature, I always use my crop sensor.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So with the other nature stuff that you do, tell us a little bit about your birding.
During COVID, I turned into like a 90-year-old man. And I was like,
oh, you look good.
I'm just going to go walk some trails and try to find some birds. I thought it was like playing like Pokemon Go in real life. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that one before. Let me add it to my list. But yeah.
And so have you been camping and stuff for that now?
Yeah, I've driven a ridiculously far away to go try to find a bird and I failed. So I did a 20-hour round trip for no reason.
I went up
to this state park called Sac Zim Bog in Minnesota or Wisconsin. And I was looking for a great gray owl and I failed and I didn't find it. So
damn.
So were you there at the wrong time or what?
They're just really elusive birds. Like they're really hard to find, at least for me. Like I found some owls. Like I found like a snowy owl and a great horned owl. But I've never found a great gray owl in the wild. I've seen them in like the zoo and stuff, but that's not the same.
Did you get one of those little books that show you all the different birds?
I do. I have a couple of them and I would mark them off, be like, oh, I found you. But I'm terrible with like bird names. So as I get home and I go through and edit it, that's when I mark off what birds I found that day.
Well, you even found that app the one day and you were asking me like, does Jacob know about this app? Yeah. Was it there was like a bird app? What was it?
It's called Merlin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Merlin bird ID.
It can basically, if you hear a bird, you can put your phone up, and if it can hear the bird, it can tell you what kind of bird is making that sound.
Oh, shit. That's really cool.
It's super cool. You don't realize how many different types of birds are around you.
Yeah, a lot of different bird sounds. Like we always get the same birds here, but we've ruined the ecosystem of our neighborhood because we put bread out on the balcony. So
scaring away all the birds.
No, all the birds show up to our porch, but it's like there will be smaller birds in the beginning of spring and then the bigger birds catch on and then they show up and scare the smaller birds. And now we have a squirrel too.
Yep.
And he has like no fear.
Yeah, the birds won't come around when the squirrel is here and the squirrel understands windows. So, like, he'll be staring Lou dead in the face while he's eating. No fair.
I'm having some problems.
Yeah.
I have squirrels and birds trying to live in my house right now. It's a
no.
I've had them too long and they got too comfortable. Well, I have to figure out how to get them out of here.
The cat on the porch. Yeah. Cat on the porch and attack. So,
I know.
The weirdest bird or like the coolest bird you've ever taken a photo of before? I almost said photographer.
Photographer.
So I went to this birding festival. And where is it? It's like right. Taos, that's where it's at. Taos. There's a birding festival there. And this one bird that's normally found in like Texas showed up there. And all the bird nerds were freaking out. And so that was one of the cooler ones. But my favorite one to find are owls.
Yeah.
I love a good owl. They're so cool. And they blend in so much.
They look cute, but they also like eat stuff whole and then yak up the bones.
Yeah, so cool.
That's my book.
I think that they had us dissect owl pellets at one point.
Yeah.
Like
in like third grade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look
for the bones.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So weird. They did that in like bat and frogs.
Yeah.
I think mice too. I think we did mice once.
It's really terrible that, you know, like junior high school, your dissection options are amphibian and poop.
Yeah.
So was the bird festival more exciting or less exciting than the Gathering of the Juggalos?
Ooh, way less exciting.
Okay.
I was the youngest person by like 60 years, I felt like.
The one young guy that everybody really else is looking at.
Yep. Did you get hit on?
What was that?
Did you get hit on being the young guy?
The old ladies do love me. I could talk to them all day.
They're like, oh, honey. Oh, sweet.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like, oh, you're just so sweet. I know. Thank you. But the Gathering of the Juggalos, way more entertaining.
Yeah. Its own kind of wildlife, if you will.
Yeah. They count as wildlife, too.
Have you photographed a hummingbird?
I have. At the birding festival, it was like peak time for hummingbirds. So there were like hundreds of them there. It was wild to see them just like hovering and
yeah.
I have some great shots of them being super still or sitting on branches.
Cute.
Hell yeah.
You never know what you'll see there.
You have to do like really fast shutter speed for that, I would assume.
Oh yeah. It helps us like during the day, so you can bump it up.
I was going to say, is it faster than shooting a concert? You feel
yeah,
like?
I shoot concerts so slow. My shutter speed for a concert is like 1/100th of a second.
Oh shit. Yeah, I'm usually at like 500th of a second.
Yeah, I'm pretty slow with it. I gotta get all that
more light that way.
I have a lot of blurry photos.
So explain to me and everybody else that doesn't understand what changes when you change the shutter speed from like 100th to 500th.
As you go, it is gonna let in less light, but it's gonna be a faster capture. So, like, it's going to, like, if you shoot at, like, what he was saying before of, like, 1/100th, if somebody moves, like, how you used to play guitar
yes.
on stage, like, the way that you would move, you would just be a fucking blur.
Okay.
Going across that frame, kind of. But, like, if it was, like, bright light, it wouldn't be so bad. But in the dark,
yeah.
it's going to be, like, really blurry.
It'd be a really muddy photo.
But, like, if I crank up the shutter speed to, like, 1/500th, then I'm usually going to get someone, like, freeze frame.
Yes.
Versus it being blurry.
It's nice to know.
Except the drummer. Because drummers are, like, sometimes you can't get them.
They're moving so fast.
So like,
I was going to say, it's nice to know that I was moving fast enough that you had to increase the shutter speed.
Yes.
In order to capture
yeah, there would have been
all
no
the
way.
Greatness that was me playing guitar on stage.
Yeah, the entire band barely moved except Chuck. So
I was like, trying to make up for everyone else.
You would have just been like...
He brought the energy.
All over the place. And I'm just like, he's going... Wing,
like, have you guys never seen a Guns N' Roses concert? Get out there and run.
Yeah. It's some energy out there. You made the show entertaining.
I hope so.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, when you have, but when you do that, there's also, like, stuff like your f-stop that changes how much light is coming in as well. So, if
if you hear me say something like, I don't buy lenses that are more than 2.8s.
Okay.
Because I know I've said that before. That is me saying, like, I need something that's going to be lower light. Is something like a 3.5 to like a 4.5, that doesn't let in as much light. So if
you... Yeah, 2.8, it's like a hole, and like the 2.8 is the biggest hole, so it lets like the most light into the sensor.
Sure.
The higher the number, the smaller the hole gets to let light in.
Exactly. So when I have like that lens that I got off of Facebook Marketplace,
yeah,
that one's not like a good low light lens. That's like, use that outside. But something like the Sony 55 Zeiss that I have, that is a 1.8, so that's like even bigger in terms of.
Yeah.
So if you start like picking your lenses based on
how big
two.
You guys are both like making it as it, like, I know a lens is about the size of a coffee.
No, they're like this big.
No, it's like the eye hole is open.
Yeah,
like if you imagine like an eye.
No, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. But both of you were like palm in basketball. And like, I get
they're super big.
And then like the third thing is the ISO or ISO, depending on who says it. But that is what controls the main like determination of light.
Okay.
So usually for a lot of the shows that we shoot, like sometimes we're like 3200 is like a good spot before you start getting noise grain.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Lightroom has like a denoiser, you can kind of crank that depending.
You can shoot it even higher with the denoiser.
Exactly.
Wipe out all.
You're over there with your mirrorless camera. You can crank it super high.
I can. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't crank it as high as you.
The A7R III is even crazier than the A7R II when it comes to that. So, like, I can crank the ISO really, really high. The problem is, and you've seen this, is that when you do that with a mirrorless, if your shutter speed is too fast, you get this thing called banding. And mm-hmm. you can see it in the photo, like, streaks.
Oh, really?
And it's, like, it messes up the image, kind of. Like, there's even... Like, it works aesthetically for somebody like anti-ghost. Like, I have photos from last night that has a little bit more of it, but it's like, it with banding, you try to avoid it as much as possible.
Well, come on, Amy, clean it up. I thought you were professional.
I know, right? I'm still trying to get you. I literally told Mike, who has, my director has the same camera as me. And I told him I hate this camera. I'm like, it bans so easily. And he's like, you need to update the firmware. And I'm like, I'm afraid.
Right. And with anything computer-wise, you update the firmware and either it's better or it's broken.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to brick it. But anyway, sorry. So with everything that you do between like the nature stuff and with the concert stuff, like where do you feel like you have your more creative moments?
Right now, it's when I'm shooting like a rap show or taking pictures with my wife.
Yeah.
I have a really sick photo of her. We went to not Sleeping Bear. What's the other sand dunes in Michigan?
I don't know.
You don't leave the house.
I've only been to the Fair Sleeping point. Bear one, I think.
There's another sand dunes. It's kind of by like Grand Rapids. But we went there for the sunset. I had like one photo in mind. And I didn't even take pictures of like the sand dunes. And it was her, and she was like a quarter mile away, and she was holding up the sun as it was going down.
That's fun.
I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, but I want to see that.
Yeah, stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, like something that you can do a little bit more like a planned idea versus mm-hmm. like, because sometimes I feel like when we do the concerts, like we're so used to doing the concerts all the time that they kind of blend together after a while to a degree. Like, I know, like, we were, like, looking at some of our Fall Out Boy ones, and we were both going, like, they're all right. Like,
yeah, I have to, like, put them away for a couple months and then look at them and be like, okay, they're pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're all the most critical of our own work, so it's like...
I was just telling her over the weekend, it's funny to me how you guys, you do love going to concerts and shooting shows and everything like that. But every single show that she shoots or that I hear her talk about somebody else shoot, all you guys do is bitch and complain about the lighting.
That's our whole group chat is just us complaining about shows.
That's all, like,
That's all we do.
I've never heard her or another photographer shoot a show and come back and be like, that was the best experience of my entire life.
Very rare.
Never. Not once.
Yeah.
I had a great time when I did Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
I think, like, if I had any complaints of those, like, we all had to shoot front of the house or right. farther away, but they gave us more songs
yep.
to compensate. And Billy Corgan can't control the weather. So that wasn't his fault that no one, got evacuated.
No one ever comes back from the photo pit saying, that's the best show I've ever shot. These are the
very
best
rarely.
I'm ever going to take. This was the best experience. Well, it never happens.
He saw one of the worst meltdowns I ever had about lighting, and it was falling in reverse.
Yeah.
And he was downstairs at St. Andrews, and I came downstairs, and I was like, what the fuck was that? I was so angry.
I had my earplugs in, and I think she went on for a solid 90 seconds, and I didn't catch a single. Like, I caught the F word.
Yeah.
And I could tell from her animated body movements that she was not happy.
So not happy. And then I looked.
I don't think I've ever had like good photos of them. You know, yeah. Their light is always terrible.
Oh my gosh.
So like super dark reds and he's moving around super fast.
I mean, there's that. no, because I remember when I came downstairs to Jet Trail was with me. And I was like, am I being over dramatic or was that awful? And she's like, no, that was terrible. I'm like, okay, thank you. Not yeah. me, but yeah, there we definitely the half of it is like, ah, crap, the lighting was bad. Oh crap, it this or that. Like, but we're all addicted to doing it.
Is there a band? This is a question for either of you. Is there a band that you have shot that was extremely photogenic but were awful?
There's so many bands like that.
Yeah, that yeah. like you shot them and you're like, these photos are fucking fire. Too bad they suck.
Bob Weir. He was the
okay.
He's part, like the founding member of like Grateful Dead.
Yeah,
yeah. He had good photos, but he just bored me to death. He was. It's like you go to like a bar and someone's playing, and you're just like, oh, I wish they stopped playing.
I'm looking at the wall, and I'm like trying to look at all the photo passes real quick, and I'm like, I mean, like three doors down, I have clear photos of, but I don't like the photos. But I think
no, that's
like,
what I'm saying though is like yeah. your photos turned out absolutely awesome. The show sucked.
No, I don't feel like I have one of those. I remember being really upset, and so was he when we did Santana.
Yeah,
because he like had his back to us the whole time.
Oh, Santana.
But yeah. that's because you wanted terrible. Photos of him from the
yeah.
front instead of the back.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That doesn't quite.
That doesn't really count. Like, I mean, his music wasn't terrible, but right. like at the same time, he was not happy.
Oh, no, speak for yourself. It's pretty terrible.
Oh, okay.
He did not have any fun at that. It was kind of like we walked out and he's like, why did I do that?
Jacob's like, it's been 20 minutes and no one's screaming.
Yeah.
Is this music?
Yeah. What is this?
I think
but yeah, so many of the bad shows they just blend together.
Yeah.
And like as soon as you leave, you're like, well, I'll like instantly forget about that.
I think at the time I really was like semi pleased with the photos, but 21 Savage is one of the worst performers I've ever seen.
That's the one I'm trying to shoot coming up. I sent you my list today.
Hopefully he does better on an actual tour. So like
I love me some rap shows.
Yeah, that particular one was it was Forbes Under 30 hired him to perform. Mm-hmm. And so it was like a one-off paycheck situation. And
yeah.
It's just like not enthusiastic whatsoever, and he was just like Savage, why you trap so hard? And just like slowly walking back and forth on stage. And I'm like, the bass is really, really harsh to the point that like garbage on the floor was moving as the bass hit. And
that might be my number one pet peeve to live shows is like the bass doesn't have to be so loud it hurts.
Yeah, he was in a seat for in this moment and it almost made you nauseated.
Was it in this moment? Yeah,
yeah, it was in this moment.
Yeah, because the bass was so loud and the notes were so low and the vibrations, like I could feel. It's one thing that I can feel it in my chest, which I already don't like that. But yeah, like when you are assaulting me with bass sound waves, like get the fuck off the stage.
That's how it was with Future. It was like 3 days later, I'm like, wow, I still hear this ringing.
Oh, yeah.
The bass, like it like cut through everything and like you could feel it in your chest.
Was that pre-wearing earplugs for you, or was that...
That's what started it.
That's what started it, yeah.
After that, I was like, I probably should wear earplugs.
Yeah, but we've been, like, more on top of that
of like all
10 years in is a good time to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being on top of it, earplugs. I feel like I did all those years of movement without earplugs.
I didn't think much of it. My band used to play like in my parents' basement, and we played so loud that I would go to high school the next day and my ears would still be ringing. And that's when I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose this, so I'd better protect it.
Yeah, I noticed when I would be falling asleep and I'm like, oh, I need something playing in the background so I don't hear ringing.
Yeah, so you don't hear that ring. Yep.
Yeah.
Now you know why I listen to brown noise. I don't necessarily hear ring, but like right. My brain can't, like I need to lock on to something to sleep. But
we're all slowly turning into Baby Driver.
just
going to have our mix on to get through the...
Yeah.
So besides birds, as we wrap this up, what's some other stuff? Like, have you gone to the zoo and photographed animals? Have you done like cats and dogs?
Yeah, I go all over the place. I really like traveling to do photos. Like I've gone to Cuba, Iceland. I've gone all over the place to shoot photos. Iceland's probably my favorite. Animals there though.
You go to an aquarium and shoot the fish?
I have, just for fun, but like nothing. Nothing too crazy happens at aquariums. It's hard to get some good stuff there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think have you ever been to the Shedd Aquarium before in Chicago?
No. I think, I don't know. Maybe.
That one's really cool.
I think I went last time me and Hannah went there.
Yeah, that one's a pretty cool spot. That's the only museum I've been to, the biggest aquarium I've been to, because the Belle Isle Aquarium doesn't really...
It's like 3 feet long.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm trying to think of anything else. Do you have any other?
That was the only other question I had, because we talked extensively about the birds. I was wondering, you know, if you shot any other wildlife.
Yeah.
No.
Well, cool. Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram, Between Two Bolts.
What?
Oh, like old balloons.
That?
I did the peace sign. I was putting like the two between us. Between two bolts and
more balloons.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's how you get balloons in Zoom, I guess.
Okay. What happens if I flew it off?
I don't know.
A bunch of middle fingers pop up.
Double bird.
You Stone Cold Steve Austin come down. Crash some beers together.
All right. Thank you so much, Jacob.
Thank you.
And we're back with the Really Big Fan Podcast. Thank you again to Between Two Bolts for regaling us about birding, going to the Bird Festival. There were no good bands at the Bird Festival.
Apparently not. There weren't the Messenger Birds.
Nope.
The Yardbirds.
None of them were there. The Yardbirds are pretty old by this point, but still. I wonder if E from the Eels was there. He's got that song, I Like Birds.
I've never heard that song before.
Well, that joke only landed for me. Thank you guys for joining us for another week of the Really Big Fan Podcast. As always, I encourage you to check out our Patreon over patreon.com/reallybigfanpod. That's where for $5 a month, you can get not only this podcast, but our double feature podcast where me and Mike Pandoff are introducing each other to some of our favorite movies and determining if they're in our top 10 list of the greatest movies of all time. We're going to get ready to record an episode this Friday. I just watched the movie last night, and I might make Mike cry.
You should. That movie was awful.
We'll see. We'll see. But you can find out how it all shakes out in a week or two by giving us $5 for the month over on Patreon and getting those. We put out about two of those every month, so you get two extra episodes at least. All right, we're going to wrap things up tonight with our serotonin boost. Did you want to go first?
I don't know if this actually qualifies as a serotonin boost anymore. I laughed my ass off because it was so stupid.
Okay.
So I opened up Spotify today.
Uh-huh.
And I came across... pulling up the screenshot just to make sure I get the name right.
You came across Girls Club?
No, I came across a new release from Snoop Dogg called Let It Roll from the Garfield movie. And it is a song with Keith Urban.
Snoop Dogg and Keith Urban?
On a track together.
All right.
And I just don't even know anymore.
How was it?
Weird.
Yeah. Is it more rap or is it more country?
It sounds more like a Keith Urban song with a Snoop
Dogg. With Snoop Dogg in it, right?
And like him rapping over the song is so weird. But then somehow the verse is still so Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
It's not even funny. But like I just was standing there going, okay, this is too far now.
Absolutely. We got too far.
Snoop Dogg is jumping the shark. Like, what is happening right now? Like, it's a soundtrack. I get it's the Garfield movie, but Keith Urban and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Fun fact, in case you are not aware, that is Nicole Kidman's husband.
Keith Urban?
Yes. Yeah. They're both Australian.
That's why she spends all that time in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Because he's out on tour.
Yep. So, yeah. Let it roll from Keith Urban and Snoop Dogg will be my serotonin boost this week.
All right.
What the fuck?
That's fun.
Yeah.
My serotonin boost comes from a very strange spot, and it is last week's X-Men 97 episode.
How is that a serotonin boost? That was so depressing.
Okay, but I got my boy, Nightcrawler. Yeah. I got so much Nightcrawler in that episode, and he was so adorable. And I loved every minute of it, and I hope that he's in the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Because he got hurt, but he didn't get killed like some people. So maybe they've opened up some spots on the team for him.
Oh, goodness. I don't know if that's necessarily how that will work.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, but it was the fifth episode of the X-Men series. The X-Men series has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to be 10 episodes, but they've already said they're going to do a season 2, so I'm really looking forward to what the rest of the next couple of weeks has for me as far as these episodes are concerned.
Is it making you laugh at all that like I keep asking like random questions about it? Like I'm thinking about it actively.
It doesn't make me laugh at all. I know that you are watching it because you know I love it so much.
No, it's good.
I'm glad that it's good enough that you're also enjoying it.
Yeah.
And you're invested in it and being like, so who is that and why?
Does this work?
Yeah, or how does this work?
Why are Jubilee's powers so useless?
Except you saw in the Mojo episode that...
Yes.
It's because she's young and untrained.
Yes. So now she just has to...
She has to
actually
knuckle down. Eventually, she gets bit by a vampire.
What?
In the comics. Yeah, she was a vampire for a while. It was crazy.
Just for a while. It goes away.
I don't even remember how they unvampired her. But...
Yeah, we can't get Aurora's powers back, but we can
unvampire. We can unvampire Jubilee.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, well, we'll talk to you guys next week for another Really Big Fan podcast. Thanks, as always, for hanging out with us. Should we just start?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really have any banter.
No. No banter this week.
No, I am banterless.
All right. Oh, we don't have lights.
Oops.
I was wondering why it looks so weird. Left who so and right who so are not.
Right. Yes, the lights are named Left Uso and Right Uso.
Yeah, of course they are. Naturally.
They're down day one-ish.
Day one is H.
Is H? What?
Remember when Fandango...
Oh, no, I don't remember
Breezango,
that.
You were doing the detectives, and they were like, day one is H.
No, I have not seen that part.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
I don't remember.
I almost said that too. I was like, I gotta remember to say that to Kevin because I saw the license plate.
Oh yeah, okay-ish.
Okay is H. What does that mean?